is Sam Price. I'm the director of young adult and student ministry here at New Hope Church, which means on Sunday evenings, we as students meet here in the church. We play some games. We do worship here in the auditorium. We do a message, and then we split up into small groups. And then on Thursday evenings with young adults, we meet and we go over video lesson. We do small group questions. We hang out. It's a bunch of fun. But maybe this is one of your first weeks here, or one of your, if not the first week that you're here, and I'm not the head pastor. Our head pastor, Pastor Rusty, and his wife, Miss Becky, are on vacation, and we're hoping that they have a restful and relaxing one. But last week, we started our series called From Life to Death. And today we're continuing that series. And so I wanted to ask this opening question. Have you ever had a moment when you absolutely were certain God was going to act and he didn't? You prayed with faith. You believed with confidence. You waited with expectation. You were sure God would step in. And then nothing. Or maybe it was silence. Or maybe it was a delay. Maybe it was a long delay. Maybe the answer looked just completely different than what you prayed for. Maybe the outcome was something you wouldn't have even chosen. And in those moments, something inside of us begins to shake, because faith often feels strongest when things are going well. But it can feel incredibly fragile when life doesn't unfold the way we believe God would allow it to. Often the hardest moments come when we truly believe God would intervene, and when he didn't, we start to doubt. The Christian author C.S. Lewis once wrestled with this exact same question after losing his wife, and in A Grief Observed, one of the books he wrote, "Meanwhile, where is God? When you're happy, so happy that you have no sense of needing him, you will be welcome with open arms. But go to him when your need is desperate, and what will you find? A door slammed in your face." You see, Lewis in this moment was being brutally honest. And later on, he writes back on what he just wrote about and talked about, I think, two or three pages later. But he's saying something that many of us as believers often feel but might rarely say. Because sometimes when life hurts the most, when our prayers seem the most urgent, God can seem silent or almost silent. And in those moments, a difficult question raises to the surface. Will we still trust God when life unfolds, does not unfold the way we thought it would? Because the truth is, faith is easy when everything makes sense. Faith is harder when God's timing confuses us, when his answers look different than what we prayed for, or when his silence might last a little bit longer than expected. That's what we're going to wrestle with today. Because when we open up scripture, we discover that even people who loved Jesus deeply and believed in him completely still face moments of disappointment when things didn't happen the way they thought they would. One of the clearest examples is found in John chapter 11, which we'll look about at in a few minutes. But before we look at John chapter 11, we have to look over at our first point. And our first point is going to be on the screen, is expectations shape how we respond when life does not go as planned. Expectations shape how we respond when life does not go as planned. I know Christmas is far away, but my example is like Christmas when you were younger, or maybe this was last year or a few years ago, you wanted the newest toy, the newest gadget, the newest iPhone. You asked for it all year long to your parents. You sent your mom, your dad a screenshot of it. Or maybe back in the day, you cut out a piece of it in the magazine or a newspaper. Whatever that tech, that piece of item, that gift, the car, whatever you thought of, you probably thought that you would get it. You expected that you would get it. You knew it was expensive. You knew it was hard to get because it was brand new. You knew maybe it was a reach, but all the while you thought, maybe, just maybe, I'd get it for Christmas. I mean, after all, I was nice to my brothers. I was nice to my sister. I was nice to my parents. I did my chores. You expected that you might get this gift. Now picture this. You start opening up presents, and your first present you open up, it's socks, right? Nothing special, nothing really cool. The second present you open up is that ugly Christmas sweater you saw at TJ Maxx, and you said, that is the ugliest thing in the world, but your grandma thought it was nice, and so she bought it for you. Present by present by present, you open up, and really, there's actually no new toy, no car, no iPhone, not even one thing you asked for on your Christmas list. So picture you're a child. How would you respond? What would you do? Would it be disappointment? Would it be anger? Would it be sadness? My point is, I'm trying to make is, when we expect something, and especially when we expect something from God, when that something doesn't work out the way we expected it to, we oftentimes can get that disappointment that leads to losing our trust in God. And I'm not saying that expecting God to do wonderful things or create miracles is a bad thing. Let's not get that twisted. However, when we expect something to go the exact way we planned it, we can run into some big trouble. The second example I have is when I was looking at searching at colleges with my family. We went on so many different college visits, so many athletic coaches visits, and most of the time, and most colleges I looked at were in Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. However, the one I liked the most actually was halfway across the country, in Wheaton, Illinois. Wheaton College was my very first visit. My junior year, I knew I wanted to go there. That's where I felt God was calling me to. And there were only a couple of different problems. The first one was my grades weren't exactly Wheaton qualified. Far, far from it. My SAT scores were definitely not Wheaton qualified. And so my last year, my senior year in high school, I spent most of my time, instead of coasting by like a lot of my other friends were, I was trying hard to boost my GPA up so it could show Wheaton College that I actually was taking it seriously. Even though it was a little bit of a reach, I expected I would get it. I mean, after all, this was where I thought I was wanting to go. And so months went by. I remember in the mail, I started getting my college acceptance letters back. One by one, they came in and they said, you're accepted. Congratulations, you got in. I remember the night the Wheaton College letter showed up. It was significantly smaller than all the other letters that had showed up previously, which, if you don't know, probably means you didn't get in, because when you get into a college, they send you this big package, and it has different brochures and magazines and a sticker and all this junk you don't really ever look at, but they send it to you. And when you don't get in, they send you this little letter that says, so sorry, you've been waitlisted or you haven't gotten in. So I didn't get into Wheaton College. And I remember how sad I was and how confused I was for the next few weeks. I thought this was a place that God wanted me to go. I started asking questions like, how could this happen? Did I do something wrong? I remember for weeks I was just confused. I just didn't know what to do. So months went by, and what I decided to do was commit to another college. It was a small Christian college, and I was all set. I got the mug, I got the sweatshirt, and so I was going to this place. And honestly, it was a really nice college. It just wasn't my first choice. I wanted to swim, so I did the whole signing the letter of intent with my high school to my college, and my college party in the spring had all the theme of the school I was going to. And a week after all of this, in March or May, I got a letter back from Wheaton College. Again, it was a small letter, but this time it said, congratulations, you've been accepted in. And so here I am, and I'm now just, I'm really confused. I don't know what to do. I already committed to this college. I already told the coach I was going to this college. I was already excited to go to this one college. And then here's my first choice of college that I really wanted to go to. And they said, yeah, you're accepted. And I mean, I already had the sweatshirt from the first college. So it was basically a done deal. All this to say, I remember after prayer and talking with my parents, one of my guidance counselor at high school actually really helped me decide after all. And so after all that, I decided to actually do, I did want to go to Wheaton College. And that was a place that indeed God intended me to grow and be pushed and to learn how he was working more in my life. The story is my expectation changed multiple different times. Looking back now 10 years ago, God was teaching me that sometimes the best things in life are the ones we have to be patient on. And sometimes disappointment or even rejection means that God is working in your life and in my life in a meaningful way. Our first scripture passage comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 8 through 9. It'll be on the screen behind me, but you can also look it up in your Bibles. And it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You see, God's ways are not ours. His thoughts are nothing like our thoughts. And although maybe that's a hard concept for myself to wrap my head around and be like, well, why isn't he thinking the same way? I also find comfort in knowing that God's thoughts are nothing like my own. That his ways are nothing like my own ways. And this verse is important because when we have a thought, an expectation of how something should turn out, when we have a certain way that it needs to happen, and when it doesn't turn out the way we thought, expected, or we needed in a sense, we go back to God and the first thing we might say is, why God? I had it all planned out. And those moments, we're quickly reminded of this verse in Isaiah, that the Lord's plans for our life are so much higher than what we could have even expected. Which leads us to our second point. Disappointment can either push us closer towards God or further. I want us to take a look at a story in the Bible coming from the book of John chapter 11. But before we look at this passage, let's talk about what's happening in John chapter 11. There's a man named Lazarus. And he's described in verse 3 of John chapter 11 as a dear friend of Jesus. We see Lazarus is a brother of Martha and Mary. And these three siblings knew Jesus. They were all close friends with him. And it's assumed that Jesus would probably stay at their house when traveling, would eat dinner with them, would hang out with them. Jesus cared about them deeply, and obviously they cared about Jesus deeply. However, we see in John chapter 11 that Lazarus is really sick. And his sister sent Jesus a message telling him, hey, your friend Lazarus is really ill. However, instead of rushing back to see Lazarus right away, Jesus decided to stay where he was for two more days. And he did this because he said to his disciples that Lazarus' sickness wouldn't end in death. After 2 days, Jesus decided to go back. And in verse 17, it says that Lazarus has already been in the grave for 4 days. So we can assume in this passage that it took Jesus a while and a little bit to get back to Judea. So here's where we are, and we're picking up in the verse 20, and we're going through 27 in John chapter 11. And it says, when Mary got the word that Jesus was coming, she went to him. When Martha got the word that Jesus was coming, she went to him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." And Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." "Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Something to pick up on is that Martha and Mary both were obviously very disappointed. Their brother had just died. They're in grief. They're in sadness. They're distraught. They're wailing. They're weeping. But another thing we see in verse 21 here is maybe the disappointment that they have in Jesus in this very moment. I mean, after all, they had sent a message to Jesus saying, "Hey, Lazarus is sick." They knew who Jesus was. They knew he probably could heal their brother. They knew that just saying the word, their brother might be cured. They expected Jesus in this moment to come through, to show up. At the very least, they thought Jesus would at least be there to say goodbye to their brother because they were friends. We see this as it says, Martha said, "Oh Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would have not died." And later on in John chapter 11, we see Mary says the exact same thing. And how often do we say these words? How often do we say, "God, if you would have only done this, I would have kept my job. God, if only you have healed this person I've been praying for." And it leads to the questions when God does not do what we expected him to do. Leads to so many different questions that we might have. And this is exactly how, in this moment, Martha is feeling. But we see her next statement, and she says, "But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." We have already said that Martha was very upset and obviously disappointed. Yet even through her disappointments, she runs to Jesus. Physically, it said she went out to meet Jesus. She didn't wait for Jesus to come in the house. She went out to meet Jesus. She sought after him fully, believing that he could heal her brother, even though he's already been dead in the grave for 4 days. I also love this statement as well for another reason. She's not saying, "God will give me whatever I ask." That since we're friends, Jesus, since you knew my brother, since we all are friends, that since we're cool, you're going to heal my brother. No, Martha in this moment says that she believes that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God. Jesus told her next, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, "Yes, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." And we see this in this conversation in verses 23 and 24 that Martha still doesn't fully understand what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, "Yes, your brother is going to rise again." And Martha's saying, "Well, yeah, of course he's going to rise when everyone else rises on the last day of judgment." Her thoughts, again, going back to Isaiah, were not the same as the Lord's thoughts in this moment. Martha is thinking in the future. Jesus is talking about in the now, in the present. We see in verse 25, Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die." And then he asks the question, "Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she's told him. "I've always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who's come into the world from God." If we keep on reading in John chapter 11, and this week I encourage y'all to, we see a couple of different things. One, Lazarus is raised from the dead. Jesus calls him out to come out, and he does. We also see, for you Bible nerds as well that are out there, that there is the shortest passage in the Bible that then Jesus wept, or Jesus wept in John chapter 11. But a couple other things that we see in this is that everybody starts to celebrate. Everybody's super, super happy, even though the timing wasn't exactly maybe what Martha and Mary expected. You see, in these moments, we get to choose whether or not disappointment is going to push us away from God or closer to him. On the polar opposite side of the scale, in the Old Testament, we see a people who did the complete opposite. Through disappointments, they chose, instead of trusting God, instead of running towards God, they decided to do their own thing. Decided to lean on their own understandings. They decided to go on their own way. And these people were called the Israelites. And if you aren't familiar with what I'm talking about, God rescues the Israelites from Egypt in the book of Exodus. They were slaves in Egypt for generations on generations. But in Exodus, we see God uses a man named Moses to free the Israelites. Obviously, when they're freed, they're all happy to leave the city of Egypt. Until they got to the ocean, to the Red Sea. This was a place they couldn't cross. There was no bridge. There was no way around. There was no thing in sight that they could do. And to make things far worse, the Egyptians had changed their mind. They probably started taking out the trash, and they didn't like doing different chores around the house, or they didn't like the luxury of having to do different things. They decided to come after them with an army. And here's our first glimpse of how the Israelites respond to disappointment after they escaped Egypt. We see in the book of Exodus, they turned to Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than to die a corpse in the wilderness." Obviously, wandering out in the wilderness is not exactly, without a home, isn't exactly what people want, or the Israelites wanted in this case. But we see even after this and wandering around, God provides them food. He provides them manna. But instead of thanking God for the manna, after a while, they start to complain. It says they wanted meat. They wanted fish. They wanted different things that they used to have. Later on, when the Lord helps the Israelites win battle after battle, time and time again, instead of running to God and praising him and trusting him, they create more disappointments for themselves. We see they create idols. And they lose their way finding God. This is time and time again, forgetting how God had provided every step of the way. Was it the exact way they wanted to? No, they probably just wanted to go to the promised land right away. They had to wait a long time. Was manna, meat, and fish that they really wanted? No, but God still provided them in that way. In the Bible, we see there's disappointments. Things happen the way people might not want them to happen. Yet through these disappointments, we have a choice to make. And that choice is really, trust means believing God is still working even when we cannot see how. Just like Martha, even when we can't see, we need to trust that God is still working. Last Sunday, we at Takeover in Student Ministry, we went over this passage we're about to read. And so students, you might remember what we read together as a whole entire group. I think this applies to our message so well today. And it's from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take." See, I love how this verse just explains and lays everything out. It's trust in the Lord with all of your heart. All right, the verse doesn't say trust in the Lord with only part of your heart. It doesn't say in the verse, trust in the Lord with only part of your life or part of your money. It says with everything you've got, with all of your heart. And so how many of us today think that trust in the Lord today, that maybe we're holding something back from Christ? That trust only leads up to a certain way till it comes to your family or your money or your health. How many of us would say that it's even hard to trust God when he's not working, when we don't see that he's working? You see, the thing is, and we kind of said it earlier, is that trust is, it's even harder to trust God when we don't see him working. It's not easy for us to fully let our lives go and let control go. However, that's why we have a choice today. If you're holding on to control or you're not trusting God fully, if you trust, it's maybe wavering or you're on the fence today, you have a choice today. And that choice, it's simple. It's not something that's mind-blowing. That choice is, will you put your faith and trust in a God who's been good? Will you put your faith and trust that in a God that is good? Will you put your faith and your trust in a God that will always be good? Or will you put your faith and your trust in your own understandings and what you know and what you want? Because in life there will be disappointments. There will be struggles. But in those moments, we can choose for those disappointments, those struggles, to break our faith. Or we can choose to trust God has a plan for our life. And today, my hope and my prayer is that each and every one of us would step into this invitation to trust God, even if it's through disappointments. That no matter what you're going through, what you've gone through, what you will go through, that every step of the way, each and every one of us would draw closer towards God in our life and not away from him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time that we're able to come together to be able to worship you. Thank you for the ability we get here to have a church and a community and friends and family together to be able to celebrate who you are, to be able to worship you, to be able to learn more about you. Thank you for our volunteers this morning on the worship team, the tech team, our parking lot crew, our people that are working with our children right now. God, thank you for our volunteers who care so much about us. God, We're going throughout this week, God, I know that there's going to be disappointments that arise. I know that from even last week, we're already dealing with different disappointments that have come up. And God, I'm praying that instead of running away from you or trying to go to something that might make us feel good for a little bit, that instead we run towards you. God, that we're able to fully pursue you this week. God, bring us back here next week, and we're just happy that we get to praise you today. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Karina. How awesome that we have a God that is more than we could ever want and more than we could ever need. So I invite you to stand and let's just sing about those things that he is and that he does for us.
Matter what comes, 'cause I know where I'd be. top of my lungs. Tell me, is he good?
He's good.
Tell me, is he kind?
He's good.
He is good God Almighty. You say your love goes on forever, that your mercy never stops. So why would I assume you'd be somebody that you're not? Like sun in the morning, I know you're gonna be there every day. So what on earth could make me be a fool? Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes. So I keep praising your name at the top of my lungs. Tell me, is he good?
He's good.
Tell me, is he God?
He's God.
He is good God Almighty. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him when the sun goes down. In the morning, love him in the noontime, love him when the sun goes down. Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes. Cause I know where I'd be without your mercy. So I keep praising your name at the top of my lungs. Tell me, is he good? Tell me, is he God?
He's God.
He is good God Almighty. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down.
Have a wonderful week. We hope to see you back here next time.
Good God Almighty. So I keep praising your name at the top of my lungs. Tell me, is he good?
He's good.
Tell me, is he God?
He's God.
He is
good God Almighty.
Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down.